Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It feels good to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Song of the church, it simply says, God is great and greatly to be praised. God is so great in my soul. Hallelujah. He's a great God. He deserves great praise. It's right that we come into this house, we lift our hands, we lift our voice in praise and acclamation unto Jesus, for he's worthy of all honor, all power, all glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer in just a few moments. Do want to make mention of some special needs. Bring to the Lord. Umber's family, many of you know the family. My understanding that Debbie Umbers, who was the daughter-in-law of Faithy and L.V. Umbers, passed away unexpectedly there this last week and in her 50s, I believe, and died in the sleep. They don't really know what exactly happened, but the Umbers family has suffered quite a bit of loss of late, and we need to lift them up before the Lord, ask the Lord to help and move to strengthen. Also, saw Sandy Diem here this morning. Many of you know she's in town. Father has a brain tumor, and they're not giving him any hope. And so let's pray for Bob Duffy, the family there, that God would continue to work. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, there are those that like to be anointed and pray for. It's always right. It's always proper that you would come. And one other request. My father-in-law, his daughter had a stepbrother, fragmented family, if you will, but stepbrother that she was very close to, and this is the same lady that a couple years ago lost a baby to SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. And she experienced quite a bit of loss. And here, just a couple weeks ago, actually about a week ago, her stepbrother, who she was very close to, was tragically killed in a hunting accident. And so they're dealing with the loss there in that family. And I would that you would lift up Jennifer Hayes in prayer, ask the Lord to speak to her, minister. She's been in and out of church for years, but she knows where her help and her strength comes from, and it is our prayer that she would turn to God and ask him to help strengthen her in this hour. I know there are other needs here represented in the house, but let's just go to the Lord in prayer right now. I said, if you'd like to be anointed and pray for, come forward. We will gladly do so. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you. God, we can gather together and lift these needs up before you in prayer. We trust in your power to heal and to help, to move up. Lord, it's not about how loud we are. God, it's not about the flowery words that we may say. It's about faith and understanding, God, that you desire to heal. God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Why don't you extend your hand toward those that have come forward in prayer. Wonderful presence of the Lord is in this place right now. Thank you, Jesus. What a don't you lift your hands toward heaven? Why don't you lift your voice and praise? So, Pastor, there aren't too many words of that song. There's a lot of O's in that song. Well, guess what? There's a lot of O's in the Bible. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works. So it's right just to lift your hands toward heaven and say, oh, oh. It's a cry of the heart. Oh, I need Thee, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We want to remind you just a few things by way of announcement. Next Sunday, if you could please turn in your order forms and monies for the gift jar fundraiser, and that way we can begin to have the orders filled the following week and have all the orders ready for you on Sunday, December the 13th. That would be great. Would certainly appreciate that. Please do remember that special Christmas program happening Saturday, December the 12th at 6:30, and then Sunday, December the 13th at 6:30. And we need your help. One of the areas we need your help is in baking some cookies, because we are going to have a reception following the Saturday night program. And so we need your help. And she sent me a long text explaining how to say everything, but I think it's better when it comes from the source sometimes. So I'm going to let Sister Sue Ann stand. She's in charge of this, and she's going to tell you exactly what she needs and how you can help her in making Saturday night a success, the after party, if you will, the reception. So Sister Sue Ann, just go ahead and yell real loud, tell everybody what they need to do. All right, so thank you. And if you can't, now it's not too difficult to bake cookies nowadays. You can go buy the tube and then cut them and put them on the pan. I can even bake cookies that way. So if you would help us in that, and please bake some cookies. Again, the sign-up sheet is there on the back, so you can sign up so we know what to expect and who is bringing what. We thank you for that. Why don't you stand to your feet? First Samuel chapter number 18. And we'll skip over momentarily to 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Good to have the Duels back in town. They were vacationing away, and good to see them here. And others have been traveling and throughout the holiday weekend, so it's I realize that happens around the holidays, and that's all right. It's good to be with family. It's good to go and fellowship with those, and so. But it's also good to come back home, and yeah, that's a good thing as well. 1 Samuel chapter number 18. It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would let him go no more unto home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. 1 Samuel chapter number 20, one verse of scripture, verse number 17. Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him. For he loved him as his own soul. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. Help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon that subject. Loving as your own soul. Loving as your own soul. There is a physical love. There is a natural love. There's a lot to be said for that. It's very powerful. Many songs and poems and sonnets and stories and novels and movies and many things have been made to depict what love is, how love works. But I dare say there is a stronger love than a natural love. There is a spiritual love. There is a love that has to do with the soul. And I want to preach to you upon this subject, loving as your own soul. And we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for being in the house, your house tonight, to lift you up and to magnify you, to give you glory and honor and praise. God, we thank you for the power of your presence that is in this place, power to heal, to help, to deliver, to strengthen, God. And we ask you that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, God, that we would leave here encouraged, God, uplifted in our hearts and in our minds, God, understanding a love that goes beyond the natural bounds of love, a love that has to do with the Spirit, God, and that we would learn to love as our own soul. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it and believe it to be done. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Loving as your own soul. To me, Jonathan is one of the most amazing men in all of the Old Testament. As I look at his life and I look at the story surrounding his life, I realize that Jonathan is caught in a very precarious place. Jonathan is caught between a proud and pompous king in the person of his father, King Saul, and the humble and lowly servant by the name of David. Jonathan, in my opinion, is a shining example of what it means to be loyal in friendship. Jonathan shows what I believe, a love that sees beyond oneself to a higher purpose. A love, the Bible says that Jonathan loved David as he loved his own soul. That Jonathan had this ability, if you will, to look at David, and why everything surrounding the situation would seem to point Jonathan to be in competition, or Jonathan to be envious and jealous of David. Jonathan makes up his mind and Jonathan decides that he is going to love David as his own soul. As best we can tell, the story of Jonathan meeting and deciding that there was a friendship, the best we can tell that it happens not long after the story of David and Goliath, after David, being but a youth, goes out into the valley, and there he slays the mighty Philistine Goliath. And the Bible says that after he comes back and presents himself before Saul, and he talks to Saul, that at that time was where we read in 1 Samuel 18 that it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. You see, it's amazing to me when I look at the story and I look back a few chapters and I find that not too long before that, Jonathan has a pretty mighty deed of his own. Jonathan with his armor bearer, they challenge a garrison of the Philistines, and Jonathan tells his armor bearer, listen, it's the Lord, he can save by many or by few. And what we're going to do is if they ask us to come up to where we are, then we're going to know that the Lord has delivered them into our hands. And if they say to stay where we are, they're going to come down, well, we'll just stay here. What Jonathan was saying was that we're going to put it to the test. And if they tell us to come on up, then we're going to know that God has delivered them into our hands. And so Jonathan with his armor bearer, and at that point in time, the Bible makes a note that the Israelites, these people who have beseeched Samuel for a king, these Israelites have really no instruments of warfare. The Bible lets us know they only have two swords. In all the army of Israel, an army of about 3,000 men, according to the count, and they only have two swords. They have all these farming implementations and all these instruments of farming that they have sharpened, and they have plows and plowshares and meat hooks and all these different things that they are using as weapons, but they're not really weapons of warfare. There's only two swords in the whole camp of Israel, one belonging unto Saul and the other belonging unto Jonathan. And Jonathan, with his armor bearer, they take on this garrison of the Philistines. And the Bible lets us know that Jonathan and his armor bearer slay 20 men.
The Bible says that the earth trembles, that there is a great shaking, and it is a mighty deed that Jonathan does under the inspiration and the power of God. And now Jonathan, no doubt he was there, and he himself didn't take the challenge. He himself, even though he had the faith to take on a garrison not long before, now he looks at Goliath standing in the valley, and he himself does not accept the challenge. But David does. David, this little shepherd boy who his own brothers mock him and make fun of him, and they say, "We know the naughtiness of your heart, that you've come to see the battle. You've come just to spectate. You've come just to look." But David had much greater intentions once he saw what was taking place. David decided that if no one else would accept the challenge, he would accept the challenge. And so he goes, and we all know the story. We've heard it many times. He defeats that great Goliath in the valley. And there the Bible tells us that something happens with Jonathan. And when Jonathan should have looked at David in our minds in a sense of jealousy, where Jonathan should have looked at this guy and said, "Wow, he did something that I should have been willing to do. He did something that I should have stepped up and said, I'll go and do." But the Bible says that Jonathan's soul is knit with the soul of David. Jonathan, the Bible tells us, he's second in command. He's heir to the throne. But instead of recognizing David as a threat, he recognizes him as a rightful comrade. The Bible tells us that Jonathan takes David and he gives to him the clothes that are upon his back, and he gives to him his sword, and he gives to him his bow, even down to his girdle. He's simply saying, "David, you have just as much right to bear arms. You have just as much right to wear these as I do." He is placing himself as Prince of Israel on the same level of this lowly shepherd boy, and he's saying, "There is something about you that I see, and I want to be connected with you, and I want our souls to be knit together." And the Bible says he loved him as his own soul. And so what we need to recognize is that loving as your own soul leaves no room for jealousy or envy. It leaves no room for being jealous. The Bible says that Jonathan gave David his sword. Think about it. It wasn't too long ago. I don't know. Maybe they had time to make some more swords at that point in time. But guess what? I dare say there wasn't too many instruments of warfare yet in the Israelite camp. But Jonathan said, "Here you go, David. Here's my sword. Here's the sword I used to take out the garrison of Philistines. Here's the sword of my own testimony of how God delivered me and how God helped me. But you need to know I love you as my own soul. And so here, I'm willing to give you my testimony. I'm willing to give you an example of the power of God in my own life. I love you as my own soul." It was a great love. It was a deep love. It was a love that said, "I will never deceive you. We're never going to be divided." You see, Jonathan could have easily and secretly conspired to the death of David. Very easily. Jonathan could have become jealous and envious in his own heart. And Jonathan could have secretly, and he could have played the part in front of David as his great friend and as someone who really loved him. And then behind the scenes, he could have conspired and could have done so secretly. And Jonathan, while Saul wouldn't have been able to touch him, Jonathan would have been able, because Jonathan was close. Jonathan, we find he never conspired. He never did anything in secret that ever jeopardized his loyalty to David. And Jonathan, instead of using deceit, the Bible lets us know that he warns David time and time again of his father's intentions. He takes time to say, "David, my father means to kill you. My father doesn't want you to reign. My father doesn't want you to become the next king of Israel. But you need to know, even though it's my rightful place, I still love you as my own soul, and I'm going to warn you what Daddy wants to do to you so that you don't die." What a powerful love. What a powerful testimony. And you see, loving as your own soul leaves no room for deceit or division. When I truly love as my own soul, there's no deceit. There's no division. Matter of fact, Jonathan could have just done nothing. Catch that. And let things take their course. Jonathan could have just decided, well, I won't do anything. I'll play neutral in this. I'll just step back and let things go as they may go. But no, Jonathan loved David as his own soul. And when opportunity arose to make David aware of harm intent on his life, Jonathan rose up and said, I will not sit idly by while others conspire to kill someone who I have attached myself to. I will not just sit idly by and just let things happen as they may. I will do my best and my due diligence to go to David and say, hey, there's people that mean harm to you. And I want you to know I am on your side. It's amazing. We find in a point in time, and it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 30 through 34. There was a feast that David was supposed to be present for. And now Jonathan and David get together, and they devise a plan to find out whether or not Saul still seeks David's life. And they devise this plan, and David says, listen, I'm not going to be present there. And if your dad gets mad and he gets angry, then you're going to know he still seeks my life. He still wants me to die. So Jonathan goes to the feast with his father, and the father, King Saul, makes inquisition as to why David is not present. And Jonathan gives the excuse that David and Jonathan had previously agreed upon. And the Bible says in verse number 30 of chapter 20, then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and to the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. Saul, Jonathan's own father, says, listen, as long as David lives, you're not going to be king. As long as David lives, your rightful heir to the throne is not going to happen. You need to understand, David has to be dead for you to make it on this throne and for you to ascend here to your rightful kingdom. David has to die. So go and get him. Fetch him and bring him unto me. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him. Saul was willing to kill his own son. Saul was willing to take up a spear and smite his own son to the wall because Jonathan loved David as his own soul. You need to understand, not only was Saul proud and pompous, but Saul was also a jealous king. And there was a part of Saul as a father that looked at his son Jonathan and said, you're willing to be more aligned with David than you are with me. You're willing to back him up where you won't back me up. And that anger and that jealousy caused Saul to try to smite his own son. Look at what Jonathan did. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. Wow. I look at Jonathan. I say, wow, what an example of loyalty. What an example of a life. Live not for himself, but live this man David. All the things that Jonathan did to show David he loved him as his own soul. The times where David was hiding and trying to get away from Saul, Jonathan's father, and Jonathan would go to him and warn him, and Jonathan would say, he's coming here. He knows about where you are, and you got to get out of here. You got to go somewhere else because Saul seeks your life. You see, loving as your own soul does something else. Not only does it leave no room for jealousy or envy, not only Does it leave no room for deceit or division? Loving as your own soul sees your future intertwined with theirs. Catch this. 1 Samuel 23:14-18. And David abode in the wilderness in the strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God and said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. And look at what he says. And thou shalt be king over Israel. And I shall be next to thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. See, David, he knows where I stand. He knows that I stand next to you. He knows that I see you as the next king of Israel. You see, my love for you and my love for the higher purpose is more than even my love for my own father, because I see and I understand that God's hand is upon you. I understand that God has a plan and a purpose that is higher than ours, and I want to be attached to God's plan, and I want to be a part of God's plan. And so, David, you need to know that when I look at you, I see the next king of Israel. David, when I look at you, I see my rightful place as being beside you on the throne, not over you, but beside you. And together I see us working for the kingdom. Ooh. You're talking about, Pastor, I'm talking about loving as your own soul. And the Bible says in verse 18, and they too made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Jonathan said, my father knows that I see you as the next king of Israel. My father knows how I see myself seeing or being next to you in the kingdom. But catch this, remember I said, loving as your own soul sees your future intertwined with theirs. We find that Saul and Jonathan were killed on the battlefield. Even though Jonathan said, I see you as the next king of Israel and I see myself next to you, David, we don't find that that ever came to fulfillment in Jonathan's own life. But it did come to fulfillment. What do you mean? Because when David takes the throne, when David does become the next king of Israel, when David now is in the place that God has anointed him to be, and Saul and Jonathan are dead. And the descendants of Saul and Jonathan, it seems that they are all done for and wiped out. David, 2 Samuel chapter 9, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness? Catch this. For Jonathan's sake. And there was the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they called him into David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son. Jonathan has a son. Jonathan saw himself with you, eating at your table next to you. Jonathan saw himself. He loved you as his own soul. And Jonathan, though he died on the battlefield with his father, guess what? He has a son. He has a son, and his name is. And the king said unto him, or he said, and the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Makar, the son of Amiel and Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Makar, the son of Amiel from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell upon his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. Catch this. The same word that Jonathan used in salutation unto David concerning his father when he said, "You're the next king of Israel." Jonathan started out with these two words, "Fear not." And look at what David begins, the words with Mephibosheth, "Fear not. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Jonathan, the Bible says, loved David as his own soul. There was no jealousy. There was no deceit. There was no division. There was no envy. And Jonathan saw his future intertwined with David. And though Jonathan never sat beside David in the throne room, guess what? Jonathan's son did. And Mephibosheth was brought before the king, and the king restored all the land that belonged to his father Saul. And he said, "From this day forward, every day of your life, you're eating at my table." Why? You see, it was customary that when one king came in to rule over another king, that the offspring of that former king were all slain, so that there could never be an uprising, so that there could never be sedition. But David said, "There was a covenant made between me and Jonathan. Jonathan loved me as his own soul. And so now I have opportunity to show kindness unto you, son of Jonathan, Mephibosheth. And now you sit at my table continually." There's a misunderstood passage in the Bible. Some have been so grossly out of line to mention that it had to do something with an inappropriate relationship between Jonathan and David, but it did not in whatsoever any sense. For the Bible says that the love between Jonathan and David surpassed the love of a woman. That's what the Bible says. But we need to know what the Bible really says and why the Bible said that. Because the love between Jonathan and David was a spiritual love. They loved each other as their own soul. It wasn't about who they were or who they were not, because they were on opposite ends of the spectrum. It wasn't about what one had and what one didn't have, or vice versa, because one had a lot and one had barely nothing. What it was about was that they were in the kingdom of God working together. They saw their future intertwined, and they loved each other as their own soul. You say, "Well, what does that have to do with me, Pastor? Why do you bring this story up tonight? Why do you take the time to rehash and go over the story between Jonathan and David?" Because this is what I believe. I believe that when we learn how to love others as our own soul, when we learn how to have a spiritual love. Physical love's one thing, but it's fickle. It fades. A spiritual love is altogether different. There's no deceit. There's no guile. There's no envy. There's no jealousy. There's no division. When I love as my own soul, what did Jesus say? "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." In closing, you can stand to your feet. It's a song I remember singing as a boy, and I think we've sung it a few times, maybe even here, but the words of the song are simply this: "Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I ever do my part to win that soul for thee. See, I don't really think it's possible to be a soul winner until I become a soul lover. Till I start to have the kind of love that was shown between Jonathan and David, where I love as my own soul. Jonathan was willing to put his own life on the line. Jonathan was willing, to commit treason, sedition against his own father, the king, for the life of David. Jonathan was willing to lay down his own life so David could prosper and be king. And the word tells me, greater love hath no man that he would lay down his life for a friend. You see, Jonathan really did and lived up to what it meant to love as your own soul. And see, you and I now have opportunity in our lives. When we start to be a soul lover, when we start to love the soul, it's not about what they have or what they don't have. It's not about how they look or they don't look. It's not about what baggage they may bring. It's not about what talents or resources they may bring. It's simply about loving the soul. Jonathan didn't really know the far-reaching effects of his love. Jonathan didn't know that one day he'd have a son who was lame upon his feet and unable to really provide and care for himself. As many in that day who were crippled or handicapped, they depended solely upon the generosity of others. Jonathan said, I see you as the next king of Israel and me beside you, next to you. Little did Jonathan know, his love, loving David as his own soul, that same love would be reciprocated from David unto Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. You see, I may love someone and sacrifice for someone, and I may never myself reap the reward of the love invested. But I know this, the reward will be reaped. It may not be for me, it might just be for Austin, Kinsley, or Landon. But if I'm willing to love as my own soul, I'm willing to reach out and say I care about whether or not they make it to heaven, and I truly love as my own soul, they are going to reap not only in the life to come, but here in this life, as that same love that I give will be reciprocated unto others around. When I learn to love as my own soul.
Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And my part to win that soul.
God's looking for some soul lovers. God's looking for some individuals that would take someone and love them as your own soul. There'd be no deceit, no jealousy, no envy. And I would find joy and pleasure when God blesses that individual, when God uses that individual. enjoy the fact that maybe their testimony would supersede my own. Maybe their influence and their power would have further reaching effects than mine. But guess what? I can look back with joy and say it was my love that facilitated that. It was my love that helped bring that to pass.
And love that soul through me. And may I ever do my part to win that.
Help me be a soul lover, God.
For thee.
Physical love, natural love, it has its limitations, but spiritual love, a love for the soul, knows no bounds. It's a godly love. It's an agape love. It's a love that only comes for you, from you, for God is truly love, and that love is a spiritual love. Someone you work with. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's someone you just are associated with in your social circle. But maybe there is a face that comes to mind as you think along these lines. I challenge you as Pastor, love them as your own soul. As we stand here in your presence, as the words of this message have gone forth, Lord, I pray they've had their intended effect. Lord, I would learn to love as my own soul. Lord, if I'm ever going to be a soul winner, I've got to be a soul lover. I got to see beyond the surface, beyond the facades. On the superficial, I got to see to the depths of the spirit. I've got to see the hurt. I've got to see the torment. I've got to see the dissatisfaction, and I've got to speak. I've got to love as my own soul. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for the example we have. The story of Jonathan. Lord, he's a hero of mine for the way in which he loved. For I see him as a facilitator of the greatest natural king of Israel. The one who your word says was a man after your own heart. And it was the love of Jonathan. Loving David as his own soul. Facilitated him. Thank you, Jesus. As we go throughout our week, God, as we go into the workplace and we interact with others, God, pray the word of this message resonate in our heart and our life. And we would learn to love as our own soul. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. One more time, can you lift your voice, lift your hands? We thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you that we're challenged, God, to find a deeper love, God. A love that only comes through you. A love made possible, God, in your presence. A powerful love, God. Thank you, Jesus. I may not love what they do. I may not love the choices they make. I certainly don't love the sin in which they participate, but I love the soul. And I'm reaching. My love for the lost, my love for the soul compels me so that I would see them in their rightful place in your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this evening. May go in the precious name of Jesus.